KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This weekend is the Trans Day of Remembrance. KBOO's Emma Lugo spoke with organizers about why the event is more important than ever.
Hi, this is Emma Lugo with TransPositive and KBOO News In Depth, and we're here today with Gwendolyn Ann Smith. Hello, Gwendolyn.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
And with Jean Bryant.
Hi. Good afternoon.
So, Gwendolyn, we're talking to you today about the Transgender Day of Remembrance and your role in helping to start the Transgender Day of Remembrance. Can you first of all tell us what is the Transgender Day of Remembrance?
Well, the Transgender Day of Remembrance is an event I started in 1998 with the goal of highlighting the issue of anti-transgender violent murders and how many there are and who it's affecting.
And why was this an issue of concern to you?
Well, at the time, what had happened, Rita Hester, who's a trans woman who was in Boston, was murdered in 1998. And the evening after the murder, I was speaking with some Boston area trans activists I knew. And so it really struck me that the community itself had no kind of historical knowledge of the issue of anti-trans violence and how it was affecting our community. So I set out to research that. In the course of the research, I discovered just how large an issue it was, and that this was something that needed to be addressed, which led to the Day of Remembrance.
That, I find that very enlightening, actually, because, you know, as it's viewed today, TDOR tends to be a more outwardly focused event, and that it initially was conceived to inform within our community.
Right.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And certainly the Brandon Tina case was a large portion of where we started. I mean, that was a case that was still very active at the time of the start of Day of Remembrance, nearly 20 years of TDOR at this point. And as, you know, growing as a community from being a very isolated community when we started this project to where we are now, those of us who are in the community, we know now that there's an issue.
Exactly.
We know about our violence. So if we were continually still focusing it inward and saying, oh, no, we need to be aware of it ourselves, we know. Now it's time to tell everyone else. Now it's time to make an issue of it outside the community.
Do you remember the very first Transgender Day of Remembrance commemoration? Can you tell us what that was like?
The one that you I think I might still have a cold from that one. It was a very, very cold and rainy night in San Francisco. And it was about a little bit less than 100 of us in SF on Castro Street, holding up signs with the names of the people we knew that were, had been killed at that time. And that one was actually, that was in March rather than November. And it was coinciding with a showing of the Brandon Tina story at the Castro Theater. So, yeah, I remember that one. I spoke to the crowd. I stood in the middle of Castro Street and spoke to everyone gathered in front of the Castro Theater about the importance of our lives.
And do you know how many Transgender Day of Remembrance commemorations there are now annually?
You know, I wish I did. There's hundreds, potentially thousands at this point. We try to collect as many as we can through the website, tdor.info. But there's a lot more events that happen that we never hear about, that don't contact us. We don't require that people tell us they're having events. You know, it went from being, you know, a very small thing to something that is honored internationally. And in a lot of places, they're very difficult to navigate as a trans person. Yeah, I look at, you know, we have one that's happened a couple of years now in Turkey, where it's very much a challenge for people to speak up and do that, much more than the relative situation here, even in Trump's America.
What is the number that you're actually, you've actually gathered thus far for this year off the website in terms of those that have actually posted? And secondly, I'd like to hear your comments on the effect of TDOR on the broader picture of actually gathering statistics on the violence internationally.
And it has vastly changed in the way that the data has been collected over the years. From, you know, the early days of the project, it was literally just me pouring through newspapers and people sending me reports and stuff like this. A lot of that's changed to this day, and with more awareness, you're seeing more people tracking it and a broader sharing of information. Again, at the time that was started, there wasn't really a notion of social media that really hadn't really caught on. So the information's been pulled a lot stronger at this point. As far as this year, it looks like 24 cases in the U.S., substantially more worldwide. I mentioned transgender in Europe, and they recently put out a report that since 2008, there's been 2,264 cases worldwide. It's a huge issue, especially in South America, but around the world.
It's really helping us to see that violence against trans women and trans people is especially impacting to trans people of color. Could you comment on that?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't talk about anti-trans violence without talking about that it disproportionately affects people of color, it disproportionately affects trans women, it disproportionately trans younger individuals. It's simply not, you know, it was very easy, I suppose, in the beginning of the project to think, well, this is strictly, you know, we're talking strictly about anti-trans murders. Even looking in the face of, you know, a project that was originally started with the notion of both Rita Hester and Chanel Pickett, who are both black trans women. As time has gone on, as more data has come in, this is not just a trans issue. This is an issue that affects primarily trans women of color.
It seems like we're starting to develop kind of a culture of, you know, kind of embracing our own power as trans people. Transgender Day of Remembrance really holds an important place within that set of, you know, I don't know what you would call it, maybe rituals. Do you think that this is something that we need to continue to do into the future, you know, to acknowledge these, this brutality against trans people, like within our own communities? Is this something that we're going to need to do every year, like into the future?
You know, it's long been my hope that someday we'd actually see Transgender Day of Remembrance become, you know, a quaint notion, a fixture of the past, where we weren't being killed in the same ways we're being killed, and yet we're not, and yet we still see, you know, numbers remaining at best even, or in the last couple of years rising as far as trans deaths. So I think it still is, you know, a part of our landscape, as well as these other events. And you know, you mentioned culture. I'm very glad to see a culture growing and seeing events beyond just Day of Remembrance, seeing visibility, seeing, you know, I'd love to see, speaking of Pride, I'd love to see something that we do in August around the anniversary of the Compton's Cafeteria riot, or, you know, things like this where we really build that that visibility in that community and that culture around trans issues. And yeah, this is part of that culture. And hopefully, you know, it's part of the culture for now. Hopefully in, you know, another 20 years or whatnot, the issue of trans violence won't be as pressing. But we'll see. I mean, the way things are going right now.
I'd just like to ask you your thoughts on the recent election.
Sheer unadulterated terror. You know, I've taken a certain amount of joy over the last 8 years of watching a president who I don't necessarily agree with everything that he's done, but watching trans gains at the federal level, whether it be, you know, passport policies or HUD or, housing, urban development, health and human services, stuff with the Department of Education, with Title IX, you know, protecting trans people at schools, and seeing all of this happen and seeing all this really vibrant, positive change. And in some ways, with some of it being, you know, a more or less direct part, I did have the benefit of going to Washington, D.C. a couple of times during this, and in one case even, you know, very much interfacing with the administration. And pretty much watching all of that now that I assumed that we had and it was going to go forward and simply become part of the American experience, if you will, and seeing the fact that, no, all of that could potentially be eroded or lost, and things could be as bad or worse than what they were under the second Bush administration.
How do you decide what's an anti-trans crime and what's an anti-gay crime? And then how do you work with... you know, trying to sort out and flesh out language, for instance, when press calls trans women men or, you know, that sort of thing?
The latter part of that, it's very difficult because you end up in cases where, they'll use birth names, birth genders. They won't provide any information whatsoever. There's a case, I've talked about this a couple of other times elsewhere, where even here in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was a murder a few years back of a trans sex worker. And a reporter contacted me directly because he wanted to cover the story, but his news affiliate wouldn't let him or didn't feel that it was relevant for him to cover it because it was a trans prostitute. Who cares? It, you know, they were murdered. You know, so you have a lot of cases out there that, quite frankly, we may never know about. Because if you're relying on the media to report them and they don't think it's a relevant story, it doesn't get covered.
Do you have any closing questions, Jean?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think this was a great conversation, and I'm just so glad that you were able to give us some of your time today.
Great. My pleasure.
Great. So we've been speaking today with Gwendolyn Ann Smith, the founder of Transgender Day of Remembrance. And Gwen, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair on Saturday, November 19th at 9:30 a.m. at Ron Russell Middle School in Portland. The Portland Fix-It Fair features exhibits and workshops from numerous community partners talking about issues such as water and energy savings, home and personal health, food and nutrition, community resources, recycling, and more. Child care and lunch will be provided. Again, that's the Portland Fix-It Fair, Saturday, November 19th, from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Ron Russell Middle School, 3955 Southeast 112th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yeah. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winona LaDuke, speaking Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the EMU Ballroom at the University of Oregon in Eugene. Winona LaDuke will speak on nature's historic position as property and the international call to legally recognize nature's right to exist, persist, and naturally evolve. This global movement is dedicated to normalizing the notion of rights of nature. Again, that's Winona LaDuke speaking on the rights of nature, Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the EMU Ballroom on the corner of 19th Avenue and University Street in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair on Saturday, November 19th at 9:30 a.m. at Ron Russell Middle School in Portland. The Portland Fix-It Fair features exhibits and workshops from numerous community partners talking about issues such as water and energy savings, home and personal health, food and nutrition, community resources, recycling, and more. Childcare and lunch will be provided. Again, that's the Portland Fix-It Fair, Saturday, November 19th, from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Ron Russell Middle School, 3955 Southeast 112th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.